Welcome back to the Proud of Your Podcast. My name is Ghost, and I'll be with you for the next 45 minutes coming at you from Central California. My chapter is PBC here, and I am the president and your host, so there you go. If you want to reach out to us or you want to reach out to me for any comments about this podcast, you're more than welcome to at pbcsubmissions@yahoo.com. That's pbcsubmissions@yahoo.com. You can send comments, complaints, queries, or if you're interested in joining my local chapter here in the Central Valley, you're more than welcome to reach out and ask any questions that you'd like. Now, once again, it's been a while since I've done one of these, and it's just one of those things where life gets in the way. And the last one I did was only about 15 minutes long, and it was kind of an intro, some things that I wanted to touch on, but I had done these before, the longer versions, the 45-minute versions, because I feel like from week to week, there's a lot that needs to be said. And so today we're going to cover a couple of things that I did originally in that 15-minute broadcast, but we're going to go over, there's a lot of things that have been happening. So there's a lot of things that I want to get into, but I don't really want to do a deep dive into anything because I don't really have the time in this 45-minute segment. And I know that like one of the things I want to talk about is HR 61 by the awesome superwoman, Sheila Jackson Lee. And I know that when you start getting into the reading bills and stuff like that, eyeballs get glazed over and people start losing interest. So I want to touch on that lightly. And I want to go into what that means for us as males, us as white males, and then us as an organization of PB folks. One of the first things that I wanted to talk about is what, in my opinion, PB stands for and why it's necessary. And I should preface this by saying that I'm not the voice of PB. I'm not the voice of anything other than my own voice. So there might be opinions that I put out that people in my own chapter disagree with, and that's fine. Part of being that alpha male is having these disagreements, but being able to work past them to continue working towards that common goal. So I'm not out here promoting myself as some expert on all things PB or the history or every chapter or anything like that, but I only have control over what my group does and the direction that they go and how I see that, what I want in my head to come out to how my group ends up. And so I'm coming at it from that perspective. Now, we all know that PB started out as a brotherhood, a fraternity, like 6 or 7 years ago. And since then, the group has been diluted. You have some people who bring a racial element into it where they're dropping memes about Jews and blacks and stuff like that. And you've got guys who obviously come in and they're pushing a certain narrative that is counter to what the original group was meant to be. And I really hate to see that because we are already fighting an uphill battle, which I personally enjoy. Like, I'll take that uphill battle any day. I love changing hearts and minds. I love putting out the best of what we have to offer and having people who hated us go, hey, maybe they're not a bunch of dickheads. But you're always fighting that flow of opinion along with these other idiots in these other chapters who are like, oh, Jews are this or black people are that. And it's hard for a chapter like mine where we're like, hey, we're not going to tolerate that shit. It's hard for us to push forward our narrative, which is bringing up men and being a good support system and being an actual brotherhood when you have one asshole in some other country or not country, but other state or other chapter who's like, oh, Jews are blah, 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 blah. And if it was me and I was in a chapter where somebody was doing that, I'd just kick them out. Because we don't tolerate that shit. It's in the tenets. Despite what MSM and the government and all these idiots want to say, it's in the tenets. You cannot be racist and a Proud Boy at the same time, period. You cannot be anti-LGBTQ and a Proud Boy at the same time, period. Now, can you be anti-drag show for kids? Absolutely. Can you be anti some guy who says I'm a girl and goes into the girls' bathroom and be a Proud Boy? Absolutely. But it is counter to Western culture and Western civilization to look at one group of people based on race or even sexual ideology and say, we hate you because of that. Now, if you want to make the argument that you're a Christian and you don't believe in gay marriage, that's completely fine. That's a different lane. But I'm talking about these people who are straight up like, oh, I hate you because you're this. Not going to work. You can't be both. And if you're wearing a Perry and you have that ideology, then someone should take that Perry off of you. But we talked about brotherhood too. And I always talk about brotherhood because that's one of the things that has always bugged me about this organization, at least my dealing with the organization, my experiences, is that people say we're a brotherhood, yet we don't treat each other like brothers. We treat each other like a quote unquote brother, who that when you say something that I don't like, I'm just going to kick you to the curb. If that's what your definition of brotherhood is, then yeah, you've nailed it. But look at the word brotherhood. Break it down. What's the first fucking word? Brother. Brother, like blood, right? Like, I'm calling you brother because we have a connection that is similar to what my blood brother and I have, which is like my mom and I, my dad and I, me and my kids. It's all blood related. So what would you not do for your kids? What would you not do for your mom or dad? What would you not do for your brother? If your kid, if you had heard that your kid said something and it was not a good thing that they said, would you just say, you're not my kid anymore, get the fuck out of the family? Or would you say, hey, you know what? Let's go sit at the table and have a talk about this. If you're going to call yourself a brotherhood, then you better start acting like brothers. You better have that A-type personality to sit down with someone who's done something and say, hey, I don't want to eject you, so let's figure this out. Yeah, there's room for Sharia, of course. And there's room for other things. And there are some things where if people do them, they should be ejected. If some guy hits his girl, get the fuck out. If there's a guy doing drugs, get the fuck out. But I will tell you this, if there is a guy doing drugs, I will still reach out to them and say, hey, let's get you some help. Maybe there's redemption for you to come back. But if there's not, we tried. I didn't just say, you're a wayward male, get out. So why is it important that we have this brotherhood? And why is it important that we present ourselves in the best way that we can? Well, aside from the media and the government saying we're a bunch of terrorists, we have to live as examples to younger men. That is another reason why this fraternity exists. We all know that nowadays, any A-type person is considered, you know, a toxic masculine or whatever they call that shit. Oh, it's toxic masculinity. We don't want you to be a A-type here in America because you're just a toxic masculine, you know, monkey out there doing stupid shit. But hey, on that same note, can you grab this weapon and go overseas and fight a bunch of people that you don't know? Because we need you to be an A-type for that. But when you come back, we just need you to be that submissive, you know, little pussy, because if we can't control you, then you're of no use to us. So go fight our wars, be strong over there, but then come back and just be submissive. That's what we need. So as a group, as a brotherhood, as a fraternity, it's upon us to look for these people who have gone by the wayside, these people who've been ignored by society, these people who society has said, oh, you're, well, let's be real. No one is attacked more than a straight white male, period. Nobody. That's not even up for discussion. So we need to find these people who feel pushed aside, these people who feel like they're getting attacked just because they like to open a door for a girl, or they believe it's their job to support the family. And that doesn't by any means mean, by any ways mean that the woman can't. I'm just saying that's in their head. They're not putting that on the girl saying, oh, no, you got to stay home and make sandwiches. They're saying, this is primarily my job. And yes, you can partake in that too. But now they're being told that's evil because you're evil patriarchy and you're what's wrong with the system. These people wonder why these wayward men end up in places like the KKK, if they even exist. Or let's just say white supremacy organizations, or they end up in like even Antifa, those fucking idiots. It's because they're searching. They're searching for that acceptance. You know, these young people, these 13, 14-year-old kids, they want to go someplace where they belong. You know, it's the same thing in high school. What group do I fit into? What group will accept me the way that I am? And so you have a person who's been told he's evil just because he's white, or even let's take that out of the equation. He's a toxic male. He's an A-type personality. He's out there trying to do, and he wants to be the best person, but for some reason that's seen as evil nowadays. That person's out there looking, and then he finds a group and they go, oh, well, hey, you know, we'll take you in here, but all you got to do is just tweak this ideology that you have. Just tweak it a little bit to where, like, you know, maybe we don't like gay people, or we don't like Jews, or we don't like this, we don't like that. And that person goes, well, for acceptance, that's a small price to pay. And so they go into that group, and what happens? They become just like that group. Now they're all having fun, they're all doing that thing, and it's so much easier to go with the flow of the river than it is to go against it. So that's how we lose these young men. And you need groups like PBC, you know, my group specifically, but PB in general, I should say, who are running their chapters the right way, who are being examples, who know what an A-type personality is. Because I see a lot of guys who say that, and they don't. Oh, I'm an alpha male. I'm alpha as fuck. Okay, well, what makes you an alpha male? Oh, well, you know, I drank a lot of beer and I jumped up on my Ford Ranger and I knew all the words to Proud to Be an American. Okay. I mean, if that's what your definition is. But in my opinion, A type starts with how you're being seen externally. So if you're this guy who's out there beating your chest, screaming at Antifa, acting the fool, that's not A type. A types are in control of their emotions. Maybe not all the time, but for the most part, you know. A types know what their center is. A types know that you can't go out there and act like a dick because there's other eyeballs that are watching you, including the very young men that you're going to try to mentor. So I don't want to hear this shit about how you're an A-type personality, but you display no A-type traits. Oh, I'm A-type because I want to fight. I don't give a fuck if you won 10 fights, and I don't give a fuck if you 10 lost 10 fights. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Losing a fight doesn't not make you an A-type. It just means you fought somebody who was better than you at that particular skill. It's a mentality that you have to embrace. You know, and yeah, maybe you're gonna run across women that aren't receptive to that. You know, receptive to that like old school blue collar family man, best dad that you can be, that just that working class male got your dirt and oil under their fingernails. And then you come home and you be a dad and you play with your kids and you show your wife that you love her and you show your wife that you support her. That's A type. That's what A type is to me. Whether you're in a group or not, that's what A type is to me. You're strong, you defend these people. You're not going out there trying to fuck one of your brothers because they said a thing that you didn't like, or he's wearing a shirt that represents you. Look, man, if you're represented by a shirt, a Perry, then you've done life wrong. So I'm always calling for people in this fraternity to look inward. How are they acting? How are they presenting themselves? And how are we treating each other? It's what I talked about last time, and we're not going to talk about that for the full time here because I do want to get into some news. But this is very important to me because I feel like this is where this group breaks down. You don't see Antifa out there buddy fucking each other, but you see plenty of that, not only in this organization, but in organizations that align with we'll say conservative beliefs, Western beliefs. They buddy fuck each other all the time. Oh, I don't want to do with that person because they said this thing and I disagree and I want to be that. And I want to be the king of my own little kingdom. Why? What value is your little kingdom when it's a kingdom of three people that is doing nothing? Not to say that other kingdom is so great and wonderful, but if you all got together and set aside your differences and made it one kingdom of maybe 10 people, now you can start doing something. But we're so busy within this organization, within brother and sister organizations, we're so busy attacking each other that we don't get anything done. And next thing you know, it's like, hey, there's a rally over in Sacramento. Hey, let's go up to this rally. Well, I heard this group is growing, so we're not going to go. Well, I heard this chapter is growing, so we're not going to go because we have beef with them and they have beef with us. You're such an A-type personality. You're such a A-type male that you can't even sit down with someone you call a brother and have a discussion. That's how A-type you are. Tell me how that makes any sense. Tell me how you go from you're my brother, just like a kid, just like a parent. I'm calling you a brother. You're a family member. But at the drop of a hat, you're like, nah, get to the curb because you said a thing. You did a thing. Happens all the time. In my experience, this happened way too much. So PBC isn't driven just by me. It's driven by every member of this chapter. Yes, we have a command structure, but we do that so we're just not a mob. I mean, you have to have some kind of organization. But this group is designed to extract the best out of humans, the best out of males, to hold ourselves to a higher standard. Which kind of makes me laugh because now, you know, I'm thinking about this national versus standard argument that everybody seems to be embroiled in. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but let's just say that it's pretty stupid to be focusing on a title. Everybody started out with a certain belief and then it morphs into something else the more you bring different bodies in. And then the next thing you know, you can't even remember what it was that you believed in. But if you go back to the tenets, well, there's your beliefs. If you have that foundation of the tenets, then there's no question of what you believe because it's there on paper. So my philosophy with this chapter is to extract the best out of every person in it. and to make it hurt a little bit, because it should, because we're all fighting a fight. We're all engaged in the battle. And 2023 and 2024 is not going to be any better. I think it'll be better for conservatives per se, but when it comes to groups like ours and the MSM and Democrats, it's going to get worse. I mean, they were fighting in the streets just because Trump came in and did a rally. You think that's going to go away? You think that's going to get better, especially if he runs? You think it's going to be any different with DeSantis? And there's already been cases where we've gone to protests and people who, you know, have similar beliefs spent more time attacking the protesters than they did the reason they were protesting. Alpha male, I can attack my own people. That's not how it works. So if you're not looking at yourself, whether you're PB or not, if you're not looking at yourself as a male and saying, how do I make myself the best version of myself? How do I become an example for these other young men who are looking for someone to look up to, someone to accept them and say, hey, you know what? You're not a bad person. Come over here with us. Then what are you doing? You can't bitch about the decline of Western culture, but do nothing to fix it. And that starts either with you or your community. Because there's no value in a person that's not willing to put the work in. There can be if you get off your ass and start working. There's no value in someone who wants to sit at a keyboard and get on Twitter and you know, yes, memes are funny, but there's no value in that. Aside from a chuckle, there's no value there. So I'm not a deeply spiritual person, but I will tell you, I do believe that certain people are given gifts. And moreover, they're given capability. And if you have a gift or are capable and you are not using either one of those two things, then you're basically wasting a life. There's a lot of people that you'll encounter that don't have that. Maybe they were born with something, or they were born with a disease or something that makes them not as capable. And that's not to say that they're completely useless at all, but I'm just saying, you know, you watch these Shriner commercials and these St. Jude's, I think it is. And you have these kids that are born with these disabilities and they had no choice. And it's not anything that they did or their parents did. It's just how they were born. And personally, I look at these and I think to myself, you know, man, everybody who can think and who's intelligent and can go out there and do, like, we all dodge bullets. We dodge that bullet. So why wouldn't we take that, what we have, and try to make the most out of it? Why wouldn't we take that, incorporate that into our chapters and try to make the most out of those chapters? And that's not to say that we need to be all serious and everything has to be business. And, you know, there are times to play and there are times to get wild and drink beers and have fun. But if that's what we're living for, then again, how can you say you're pro-Western culture, but you do nothing to promote it? It's just something to think about. I don't want to badger that point because there are some other things I want to talk about, and I did talk about that before. So we're going to have a little bit of a music break, and when we get back, I think we're going to listen to, we're going to talk about HR 61, but I think we're going to listen to some Jimmy here, so enjoy.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth. Hey. No reason to get excited.
We are the men on the watchtower. And if you are on standing in the watchtower and your life is full of clutter and bullshit, then you're not going to be as effective as you should be. So what's the tie-in between the last segment and where we're going? Well, lucky you, I'm going to tell you. In her infinite wisdom, I don't know if she's a congresswoman or what the hell her job is. I think she's from California. I probably should have looked it up, but I hate anything to do with politicians. Sheila Jackson Lee decided to put forth a House resolution bill, H.R. 61. And H.R. 61 is basically her brainchild to prevent and prosecute white supremacy-inspired hate crimes. Sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, who wouldn't be for prosecuting hate crimes? Oh, not hate crimes, just white supremacy-inspired hate crimes. Gotcha. So Sheila Jackson Lee looked at the country and how things were going. She said, you know what? There's been a massive uptick in black people attacking Asians. There's been a massive uptick in black people attacking black people. I'm not interested in that. Oh, yeah, there was this couple of these white guys attacked this not white guy. There it is. That's what I want. We need to fight that. This white supremacy. All seven of you in this country. We need to fight it. That's my goal. Don't care about black people attacking Asians at will. Don't care about blacks shooting each other, not just in Chicago, but all across America. But you white people, you step out of line, now I got a bill that can send you to the pokey right there. If Sheila Jackson Lee was serious about hate crimes, why did she limit it to just white supremacy? How are you defining white supremacy? What person who is white attacks another person and says, this is because I'm white supremacist? No, yeah, back in the day, you definitely had that. What, do you have that now? Are you going to tell me that if you had a video of a white guy beating up an Asian, that that would not be mainstream? Like, that would be in the news everywhere because he'd be Trump-inspired, blah, blah. Look what happened to Jussie Smollett. He got attacked by the darkest white people in history, and that was a media sensation. So Sheila Jackson Lee wants to fight hate crime so much that she's limiting it to that very small minority of white people that still believe that stupid shit. Doesn't care about blacks on Asians. Doesn't care about blacks on blacks. And I'm sure there's other races that are committing hate crimes on other races. There are certain sects of Hispanic, you know, cultures that really, even Japanese to Chinese. I mean, there's all kinds of races that come from other countries where they absolutely do not like each other. I don't know if it's like this anymore, but Oaxacan Mexican, that was a big one. Vietnamese to Hmong, that was a big one. So, but she doesn't care about that. No. You white people are the only ones I care about. So let's extend that. Let's extend this philosophy of hers and see what this is really about. True or not, the common belief is that most of your conservative, pro-Western culture, pro-2A, pro-American types are white guys, the Chads, right? That's the common belief. Now, yes, of course, there's a couple of minorities sprinkled in there, but according to the liberals, they're just idiots, which somehow isn't racist, right? Oh, we like all black people, but if you're a conservative, then you're just a fucking stupid Uncle Tom. Okay. Oh, but also you're smart enough to make up your own mind. Unless you make it up in that direction, then you're just a stupid Uncle Tom. It's a great philosophy, and I'm sure not racist at all. No bigotry there, guys. No bigotry. So now, let's say you have a guy who's in PB, and he goes out, and he's doing his daily thing. He's being a good A-type, supporting his family, being kind to people, you know, just being a good American, working class guy. And he goes out, and he gets in an argument with someone who isn't white. Doesn't even have to be black. Let's just say it's an Asian guy, or a Mexican guy, or an Indian guy, whatever. They get in a fight over something that's not related to race at all. Maybe it's something stupid like a parking spot. This guy was having a bad day. The other guy was having a bad day. It's a stupid thing to fight about, but it happens all the time. They got face to face. The knuckles come out. They start badgering each other. Someone calls the police. People are getting bloody. The cops show up and you've got a guy versus a guy in a fight, which is essentially all that is. No racial things are said back and forth. How do you think that ends with H.R. 61? Well, even if we replace the Hindu guy or Indian guy with a black person, how do you think that ends? What if this guy is a third degree and his tattoo happens to be visible? Now you've got the police looking at this guy who fought a black guy who's part of a group that's quote unquote white supremacist because Sheila Jackson Lee said so. So now this guy, instead of getting some kind of citation for being in a mutual combat, this guy now goes to jail because he has an enhancement, that white supremacy enhancement. It's just like being in a gang. So in a gang, there has to be certain qualifiers. You can't just say that's a gang and then suddenly they're a gang. There has to be certain qualifiers, how they dress, where they hang out, what tattoos they have. And I say how they dress, meaning like what colors they dress. There's all these criteria that law enforcement looks at to determine whether they're in a gang or not, or to classify them as a gang. If they meet so many of these criteria, bam, you're a gang. Now, PB, yes, there is a shirt that you wear second and above. Yes, there are tattoos you can get. Yes, you do hang out, but do you go out there and commit felonies as a group? Do you go out there and like, is your way of making money running girls, running drugs, doing drive-bys and stuff like that? No. That is a big difference between PB and gangs. PB is a fraternity. It's a brotherhood. Gangs have specific missions. They're out there trying to get money. They're out there trying to own neighborhoods. So if you commit a crime as a gang member, there is an enhancement that can put on you that puts you in jail longer. Now you've got this guy who has basically what is stupid, but an innocent fist fight with someone. And instead of law enforcement coming out and saying, okay, well, you guys can either shake hands and call it a day, or we can press charges, but it's all misdemeanor level stuff. Now they can go back and go, oh, look, this guy's black, this guy's white, this white guy's in PB. Here's this hate crime enhancement. Off to jail you go. And now because of one stupid decision to get in a fight with somebody, now he's going to jail. And now he's got fines and legal fees and all the other stuff that comes with that. That's that slippery slope. Now let's add one more. Let's say HR 61 gets passed and she says, we don't want hate-inspired crimes, which again, how do you know what is in the head of somebody to know that it's hate-inspired? That to me sounds like Minority Report. You can get in a fight with a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, and none of it can be based on their skin color. None of it. But they don't know that, so they have to fill in the gap to complete their assumption that you're a racist. If you don't tell them, or if they don't have the proof, they'll just fill in the information. Whatever suits their needs, they'll fill it in and off you go. So what if we now move that a little bit, and she says, okay, well, it's a crime, it's a hate crime to do this thing, but now it's a hate crime to be a part of a group that would do this thing, even though as a group, they aren't doing that thing. But that one individual, just because you're in that group, now you're going to be arrested because you're part of that group. Because we assume that this group is doing something. We assume PB is racist because we've just said it, and therefore it's a fact. Even though it's chocked full of minorities. Oh, but those are the stupid ones. That's right. I keep forgetting. Even though it's chocked full of minorities, we're still going to call you a white supremacist group. And just because you're part of that group, now you're going to jail. Look at Canada. PB in Canada is considered a terrorist organization. I think that's true in Australia. I'm not sure. Here locally, they try to get PB labeled a gang. And through some miracle of God, the chief said, no, go kick rocks. So PB is not technically a gang. But that's how all that control comes in. So you have all these PB groups who are, I think, rightfully going out there and protesting these family-friendly kid tranny shows. And there's a lot of people who are trannies who will tell you they don't agree with that. They'll tell you these things are not for kids. But you have these PB groups and these other organizations that are going out there and they're protesting, as they should. So if this HR 61 gets pushed a little bit down the road, just like one or two more notches, just like one or two more miles, and they extend it to if you're part of this group, you will be arrested for hate crimes, what does that do to protesting? What does that do when you go out there to protest these family-friendly drag shows and the cops come out and they start talking to you and they determine that you're part of PB, maybe you've got a tattoo, off to jail you go. Now, you can say, well, that's never going to happen. But Did you ever think that you would live in a day and age when people were telling you that men could get pregnant? So let me ask you this. What's more out there? A large group of people talking about how men can get pregnant, or someone being arrested just for being part of a group? You could already argue that that's happened. Look at New York. When those two PBs got in a fight with the Antifa, they went to the pokey. Antifa did not. I believe they're still in jail, actually. Why? If they were just two guys not attached to a group and they got in a fight, do you think they would still be in jail? Do you think a lot of these J6ers who, you know, God bless them, are in jail right now? Do you think that if they weren't being tied to something more, that they would be out? I mean, legally, they should be, right? Fast and speedy trial. Legally, they should be out. Do you believe that if they were just random Joes out there, that they would still be in jail? No, because the government's sending them a message. The message is, if you try to be a part of these groups, you will get hammered. Therefore, you cannot be a part of those groups. But if you want to be Antifa and you want to attack police officers and you want to burn cities and you want to burn small businesses, have at it. If you want to be in BLM and you want to break into stores and you want to steal shit from Target and you want to take shoes, have at it. But if you're a PB, if you're an Oath Keeper, if you're a 3%er, or you're one of these groups that we consider far right, you will fucking fry. For what? That is the lopsided universe we currently live in right now. So HR 61, right now, I believe it's been proposed, but it hasn't been voted on. But it's definitely something you want to keep your eye on. I mean, I know I've said it's like a slippery slope, but I don't even believe this is a slippery slope. I believe it's just, you're already at the bottom of the slope. You're already there. I feel like we all know this is just another way that they, you know, they want to try to control you. They want to try to control those people on the right. And you know what? And this is why I don't cheer for a team, whether you're red or blue, R or D. I don't care, because at the end of the day, they're all on the same team. Like, you, if you're a guy, if you're like a McCarthy or some dude up in, you consider yourself a Republican and you see this bill come across the desk, how is your initial response not, hey, Sheila, take this bill and shove it up your ass? How is that not your response? How is this something that even makes it to be voted on? Or at least say, hey, why don't we attack all hate crimes, which I could actually get behind? You're still worried about it? Well, then put everybody under the same microscope. Not just white people. Not those eight people in Charlottesville who are marching around saying stupid shit. So keep your eye on that. Because I do believe that is going to extend to membership of certain groups. And I think this is being proposed now because they know we're going into an election cycle. They know there's going to be protests, and they know there's going to be people who are counter-protesting. And they want to silence the voices of only one side of that. And it's obvious which side that is. So we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. I did want to kind of briefly go over the this whole document thing, these top secret documents that they keep finding. I really hope that everybody understands, like, MSM, these people, these are not serious humans. Like, people in government, they're not serious humans. It's been a belief of mine that that is why you cannot have serious discussions with people on the left. And I don't want to, I mean, I know that's a blanket statement, but I don't want to apply that to every single one of them, because I've actually talked to Antifa before, some people in Antifa, and they were, you know, we've had discussions. Did I change my mind? I don't know, probably not. But you can't have a serious discussion with someone who has no foundation of belief, who has nothing that they actually believe in, and that's MSM and politicians. These guys will go whatever way they are told on any given day, and this is proof. This is another glaring example of a Donald Trump who has these documents locked away, and they raid his house and they make a big spectacle of it and they say, oh, you're going to jail. Or even with his tax documents, well, show us your taxes. So he shows them the taxes and there's nothing there. Did you notice that story went away? Did you notice Mar-a-Lago kind of went away? Oh, we're going to have a special counsel for this and that, whatever. Okay, great. And then all of a sudden, you know, and Biden, oh, it's such a breach and blah, 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 blah. It's national security risk and all this other stuff. And then he's got him in his fucking garage with the son who is a meth head. Come on. I mean, you can't make this up. They were locked away in a garage. Oh, come on, Jack. They were locked away in a garage. Okay. I guess nobody owns bolt cutters. I guess you don't have a son who would probably sell that shit to anybody to buy another rock. And of course you have these fools in the mainstream media who are just set up there like, oh no, this is different because Biden cooperated. So basically, if I go and I rob somebody and the cops have to chase me, I'm guilty. But if I go and I rob somebody and then I go turn myself in, I'm suddenly not guilty of that robbery? Or has the crime been committed on either side, on both sides? Has it been committed or not? Like, does one absolve you because you're like, sorry, my bad. I just murdered that guy, but here I am to turn myself in. So we're all good, right? How is that any different? How do you look at one? Bare minimum, your stance should be, oh, they're both fucked up. And I don't want to, I've heard some people go, oh, no, this is easy peasy, man. Trump did it. Special counsel. Now they found out Biden did it. Special counsel. R's and D's talk. Let's just take them both off the table and say nothing happened. No, fuck that. No. If two people break the law just because they're on different sides of the aisle, that's not a wash. Because they still broke the law. That to me just goes to show you the arrogance of these oligarchs that run this country. And these people that they've lowered the bar so low that they're just like, oh no, it's a wash, man. Meanwhile, you've got tons of people sitting in prison for doing the exact same thing. And their only sin was they're not the president. And these same people who 6 months ago were saying no one is above the law are now saying, well, you know, it's a wash. Again, there's no foundation there. There's no belief. It's whatever supports my theory of the day. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if Trump is guilty or not. I don't know if Biden is guilty or not. What I do know is they found documents in both people's houses that may or may not have been. Well, I think in Biden's case, we know they were definitely not supposed to be there. But in Trump's case, we don't know. Maybe they were declassified. Maybe they weren't. But if you're walking away from this going, oh, it's a wash, and you shrug your shoulders, you're letting them get away with it. It's the same thing about like not voting in term limits or when Nancy Pelosi puts the kibosh on voting for insider trading. It's obvious. It's obvious. They don't even hide it, right? They don't even hide the fact that they're doing this, but you still have idiots out there going, ah, whatever. How have we come so far as humans, as Western culture humans, as people who like frontiered this country, as people who built things? How have we come so far that now our common stance is, meh, it's ridiculous. Anyways, I didn't even get to talk about reparations in California. Oh my God, maybe I'll let that one simmer for a little bit and we'll talk about that next week. Anyways, I'm going to get out of here. Hey, thank you for giving me your time. It's always appreciated. Remember, this is your host, Ghost, from PBC in Central California. If you want to reach out, it's pbcsubmissions@yahoo.com. That's pbcsubmissions@yahoo.com. I'm always good to take comments or chat, or if you have any questions about my chapter or PB in general, I'm always good to answer those. You know, in the meantime, just kind of consider the things that we talked about in the first half of this. You can't be a brotherhood if you're not willing to treat the people in that brotherhood like your family. And I think now more than ever, we're going to need to knuckle down and really come together, not just as a PB organization, but embracing the other organizations, brother and sister organizations, to get out there and fight this fight. Because if we stay divided like we are now, then it's going to be a bloodbath. You know, I mean, I see us doing stuff that Antifa doesn't even do. And to be honest with you, it's pretty pathetic. So love each other, take care, and I'll see you on the other side.
Shut up! hesitated. Well, all the moon is set, we're taking it away. Will you watch me waiting? Taken away. Will you watch me waiting?
All right, you guys, y'all take care, and next time I'll hit the right button for song number two.